Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Look with me, Psalms 51, look in verse number 10. The Bible said this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Father, I love you this morning, and I pray, God, that you'd help us today. I pray, God, Father, that, Lord, that you would help me to relay to the people, God, the things that you've given me this week, God, as I've meditated on this, Father, and, Father, thought about this chapter and studied this chapter. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd just help me to relay to them, God, what you've given me. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help each and every one of us this morning to leave with a clean heart. And, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd renew the right spirit within us, Father. Lord, I'll be careful to give you the praise, God. If there's anybody here lost, I pray, God, that you would save them today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Anytime in studying our Bible, one of the first things that I do is I try to find the history of what is going on, especially when you come to the book of Psalms. Psalms is a unique book in that it is written by several different people. Psalms 51 is written by a man by the name of David. Matter of fact, some writers consider David the sweet psalmist of Israel. Whenever we begin to study David's life, David is a very unique man to study. I love studying the life of David. As far as doing studies on an individual, his life, besides the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, is probably my favorite character to study in the Word of God. There's a lot of things written about the life of David in the Word of God. Most people that we read about in the Bible, we catch up with them. For instance, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul writes almost half of our New Testament and was a man that, boy, he influenced the world, amen? But not much is said about Paul's past. Really, we find out about Paul on the road to Damascus when the Lord saves him and transforms his life. But on the life of David, we really pick up David as just a boy and follow David through his whole life in the Word of God. David was a young man that was anointed at a very young age to be the king of Israel one day. Here's something that is stated about the life of David that is so very interesting to me, that he was a man after God's own heart. Nobody else in the Word of God has that said about them, but David, he is a man after God's own heart. One thing that we're very, very familiar with, if you've been in church any at all, is when David killed Goliath with a sling and a rock. Not a slingshot, that's not what it was, but it was a sling and a rock. They put a rock in it and they would wind it up over their head like they was going to rope a cow, and they would let one piece of it go, and that rock came out of that sling and slew Goliath that day on the battlefield. But if we was to backtrack David's life, there was also a time when he killed a lion, and there was also a time when he killed a bear, and the hand of God was on David throughout his life. Again, he was a man, nobody else has this said about him, that was after God's own heart. David lived a pure life and a great life, but something happens in the life of David in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. In 2 Samuel chapter number 2, David is anointed king of Judah. In chapter 2 verse 4, in chapter 5 verse 3 of 2 Samuel, David is anointed king over all of Israel. David is anointed king over all of Israel. And you'll find find out that in 2 Samuel, matter of fact, I'm going to flip back there. If you want to go with me, you can. But in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, David, the Bible said this, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the times when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besought Rehoboth. But watch this, but David tarried still in Jerusalem. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. Now we know according to the word of God, you say, preacher, what's this got to do with Psalms 51? It's got everything to do with it. Stay with me. We know according to the scripture that David was supposed, Brother Andy, to have went to the battlefield that day. That's where he's supposed to be at. The Bible said this, that the times when kings go forth to battle. But David, Brother Tim, did not do that. David tarried still in Jerusalem. Could I say it this way? David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. David is in the wrong place at the wrong time. Have you ever found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time? I have sure found myself in the wrong place at the wrong time a whole lot more than I have found myself in the right place at the right time. Are you with me? I couldn't number on my hands and feet how many times I found myself in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you know whose fault it was 99% of the time? It was my fault that I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's where David's at. David is supposed to be on the battlefield, but David tarries still at Jerusalem. Chapter number 11 goes on, and here's what happens in the life of David. David lays in bed all day long. He rises up in the evening time, and he goes on his roof. And whenever he stands up on his roof, now understand this, that was not uncommon in that day. It was not a roof system like we have today. Matter of fact, in that day, most of them had steps that went up to their rooftop, and they would stand on their rooftop. You that went to watch the, what did we go watch? Esther. Yes, we went and watched Esther, didn't we, Brother Robert? And you that was there saw the roofs of that day and what I'm talking about. David goes up on the rooftop, and when he goes up on the rooftop, he sees a lady by the name of Bathsheba. When David sees Bathsheba, the Bible said that she was very beautiful to look upon. That she was very beautiful to look upon. And the Bible says this, that she was bathing herself on the rooftop. Well, you know what David does? David looks at her. David lusts after her. And David sends a servant in 2 Samuel 11 to go get Bathsheba and bring Bathsheba to her. They warned David not to do this, but David does it anyhow. David commits fornication and adultery with Bathsheba and sends her away. The word comes back that Bathsheba is with child. You know what David does? David sends word to the battlefield. Uriah is her husband. Has Uriah brought in, makes Uriah drunk, tries to get him to go in with his wife to cover his sin. And Uriah won't do it. Uriah said, no. He said, my Lord and the Ark of the Covenant, I don't have time to preach at. That's a type of the Holy Spirit of God is on the battlefield. I will not do this thing. David writes a death note in 2 Samuel 11. Gives it to Uriah. Uriah takes that sealed note to Joab. And Joab sets Uriah at the forefront of the hottest battle. And at the word of David, David has Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, murdered that day on the battlefield. You that knows your Bible knows that David never would deal with Joab on anything. You hear me tell you the reason David never would deal with Joab? Here's the reason why. Joab knew something on David that a lot of people didn't know. You better be real careful who you're telling what you've done. Now, I'll leave that right there. That's a whole nother message within itself to young people. But you better be real careful who you're giving your letter to. Joab ends up having Uriah killed. Uriah dies, and you go into chapter number 12. I'm headed to 51 of Psalms, but this is where all this comes from. Chapter number 12 comes around of 2 Samuel, and Nathan, the man of God, comes to David. Now David has taken Bathsheba in. David is saying that everything's all right. David said, man, I've just married her. I'm going to be good to her. I'm going to raise this child of Uriah's, and everything's fine. Nobody knows what I've done wrong. You know what happens when chapter 12 rolls around? Nathan comes to him. Nathan confronts him. Nathan says, thou art the man. I know that you've done wrong. God knows that you've done wrong. And that baby that Bathsheba was not going to have but had ends up dying in verse number 18. David's heart is broken. Why? Because of the sin that David had committed. Because of the sin that David had committed. Psalms 32 and Psalms 51 are Psalms of confession. This is David now, after all of that has transpired, and he's saying this, Lord, would you create in me a clean heart? God, would you forgive me? God, will you cleanse me? Matter of fact, he goes on to say in verse number 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David is saying this, because of what I have done, now, Lord, I'm in need of thee. Now, here's what we do a lot of times. Now, stay with me. Here's what we do a lot of times. We classify sin. Okay, let me say that again. There's four agreed with me. We classify sin. You know, preacher, I've not cheated on my wife. Bible says if you look upon a woman to lust after, you've already committed adultery in your heart with her. I know this is hard preaching, a lot of people think, but it's actually just holy preaching because it's the Word of God. It says if we looked upon her to lust after, we've already committed adultery with her in our heart, Brother Tim. Well, you know, preacher, I'm not one of them that beats my wife. Well, I'm glad that you don't. You ain't got no reason to do that. You say you don't know the way she treats me. I've never beat my wife, but there's been a few times that the way she swung at me, I thought she was going to beat me. I'm not a child abuser. I'm not a pedophile. And we classify sin. But according to the Bible, if we've broke any of the law, then we're guilty of all of it. In other words, a lot of times, I love Miss Helen. I miss her. Y'all pray for her. And she'll say, well, it was just a little white lie. And I'll say, you know what that is? That's a big old fat lie. Because a lie is a lie. Somebody say amen. You know, the Bible says that if we've committed one, then we're guilty of all. So let's don't think about our neighbor this morning. Let's don't think about the man down the road that is a sot drunk that beats his children. Let's think about ourselves this morning. How many times this week have we missed the mark? How many times this week have we failed God? How many times this week have we reacted to a situation in the wrong way? And if we're real honest within ourselves, we'll all find ourselves in the same place David was at in Psalms 51. Today, we want to say that there's no consequence to sin. And I said this last week, and I've said it a lot here lately, but with every choice, there is a consequence. Will God forgive? Absolutely, God will forgive for sin. But with every choice, there is a consequence that follows that choice. Look at this. Look in verse number 3. The Bible said, I'm in Psalms 51 now. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. You see, sin has affected his eyes in verse number 3. Look in verse number 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. It has affected his mind in verse number 6. Look at this, verse number 8. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. It affected his ears and his bones. Look in verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's affected his heart and his spirit. When you go to verse 13 through verse 15, it affects his lips and it affects his heart. I want to say something to you this morning. Sin always has an effect on our life, and it's never a positive effect. I thought about this. I wrote this down a while ago. Verse number 7, sin's defilement. Look in verse 7. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What is he saying? He's saying, I've defiled you, Lord. Verse number 8, there's sin's deafness. Verse number 9, there's sin's disgrace. Verse number 10, their sin's damage. Verse number 11, their sin's doom. Verse number 12, their sin's depression. What did he say? He said, restore unto me what? The joy. Verse number 10, he says this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalms 51, David is looking back at the mess that he had made of his life. He's looking back at all of his faults and all of his failures, Brother Andy, and here's what he is saying. He's saying, God, would you create in me a clean heart? I began studying that word create right there this week, and here's what I found out about it. That word create is the same Hebrew word from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, what? Created the heavens and the earth. And here is what my laying on the couch, partially dislocated rib, pondering has come up with. Are you ready for it? The world could have never been created if it wasn't for God. Where did God come from? Well, when the beginning began, God was there. So God has always been, and God will always be. And God decided one day, I'm going to make the world. So you know what he did? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth would have never been if it hadn't been for God. The heavens and the earth could not create themselves. Would you not agree with me right there? How can something that's never been created create something? Are you with me? You say, well, God's never been created. No, he's just always been. You say, well, I don't understand that. Just accept it. You'll be a whole lot further ahead in this ballgame. And God said, I'm going to make the heavens and the earth. There's no way the heavens and the earth could have been what they was if it wasn't for God. It's the same word in Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart. Watch this. Oh, who? God. Now here's our problem today. I'm telling you what, you give me 2 days laying on the couch, I can figure out everybody's problems. I got to figure it out this morning. Here's what it is. We try to create our clean heart ourselves. We try to make ourselves right. We try, Brother Tim, to make ourselves good. Let's walk in our Bible this morning. Give me, it's 15 till, give me about a little bit and we'll be done. I want to read you something. Romans 7. This is where we are today. I'm going to read this to you. And after I read it to you, I'm going to explain it to you. Because after I read it to you, some of you is going to go, I ain't got a clue what he just said. That's exactly what I said the first time I ever read it to you. Watch this. Romans 7, verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You say, preacher, what did that just say? Here's exactly what that just said. I know what to do, but I don't do it. And I know what I'm not supposed to do, but that's what I do. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever done something and you went, you big dummy? Why in the world did you do that? You knew better than to act that way. Maybe I'm just preaching to me this morning. You knew better than to say that. You knew better than to talk to your wife like that. My wife has instructed me this week, I forgive you because I know you don't feel good. That was one of her opening statements the other morning. I forgive you because I know you don't feel good. I ain't done nothing wrong. I mean, I am a good person, Brother Josh. She said, I forgive you because I know you don't feel good. Have you ever said something and before you said it, something inside of you said, don't say it, but you said it anyway? You ever done something and before you done it, something inside of you said, you better not do that, but you done it anyway? Absolutely. And you know what Paul is saying in Romans 7? That which I do, I allow not. And that which I do not, that I allow. You ever got to the end of the day and went, man, you know, I really should have read my Bible or listened to a couple chapters of my Bible, but the day has slipped past us. You ever saw somebody and said, hey, I'm going to pray for you because they had a need? And then the next time you saw them, they said, thank you for praying for me. And inside of your mind, you're going, I never said a prayer for you. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it. I know what I'm not supposed to do, but I do it. They sometimes me and I has a very good conversation. You say, you talk to you got to have an educated conversation every once in a while. You got to talk to somebody that understands every once in a while. And me and I sits down and has a conversation. And you know what I say to self? You big dummy. Why didn't you do that? You know what? I bet David, when he sent Bathsheba home that day, and he walked in his chambers, he's the king of Israel, and he sat down, I bet he said, why did I do that? Why did I do that? And he comes to this place where he realizes that he can't fix himself. I can't fix me. I'm too broken. Don't nobody say amen right now. I'm too messed up. That's usually when Seven goes, whoa, praise God, that's right, preacher. Preach on. I'm too messed up, Brother Andy. I can't fix me. I do things and I think, why did you do that? I act ways and I think, why did you act that way? I don't read my Bible and I know I'm supposed to read my Bible. Maybe I'm just talking to me this morning. And God said this, you're going to have to quit trying to fix yourself. because the worlds can never come into existence by themselves. It took me. And David says, Lord, will you create in me? God, would you create in me a clean heart? Lord, I'm tired of the life I'm living. God, I'm tired of the lies I'm living. I'm tired of the way that I'm treating myself and others around me. And the only way that it'll ever be fixed, Lord, is if you fix me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And what did he say? And renew a right spirit within me. You see, here's just the truth of the matter this morning. Will you come and start playing softly? Until we realize that we can't fix ourselves, it's not us. It's not us. What did Galatians 2:20 say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I can't fix me. David said, Lord, I need you. Lord, there's some broken things in my life. My life is messed up. Let's be real this morning. I'm sorry. I didn't come to pat everybody on the back and sing kumbaya this morning. Let's be real. We some messed up people sitting in here this morning. You said, preacher, I'm not messed up. Well, I tell you what. If I could take this and bring it over here and stick it on the side of your head, and it mirror everything on those monitors right there, every thought you've had this week, hey, I'd shoot you if you tried to put that on my head. And you probably would me, because we some messed up people. Just because I hold a Bible, and I stand before you this morning, don't mean that I'm a perfect person. I fail God daily. And one thing that God has taught me this week is you got to let me fix it. You've got to learn to be, watch this, dependent on me. This is the truth. Tuesday night, I sat down in a chair, Brother Randy, and I laid down practically on the table and just barely moved my hand like I had to get soup up to my mouth. And the girls put a straw in my drink and pushed it over to me to be able to drink. I thought I was dying. I'm telling you, it's the closest thing to a kidney stone and an abscess tooth I've ever had in my life. I went in there like this and I flopped down on the couch and my feet about went up straight in the air. Leslie had to slide that ice pack underneath my back. And she had to, she's a real good nurse, and she forgave me for my bad attitude already. I had to become dependent on somebody else. And I want you to hear me this morning. All that mess in your life that you're trying to straighten out, I don't know how many people says this, preacher, I'm going to quit this, and I'm going to quit this, and I'm going to quit this, and then I'm going to start going to church. You got it all wrong. You need to come to church and realize that we've got to be dependent on somebody else. I don't like to be dependent on nobody for nothing. That's just the way I was raised, man. But we've got to become dependent upon him. Create in me. The worlds would have never been if it wasn't for creation. Today we sit back and we look at the world and we view its beauty. We think about, personally, I think about the fruit trees. I love fruit. I love walking out to the goat lot in the middle of the summer, and there's a little spot fenced off out there that's got blueberry bushes in it, and reaching in there and just getting a handful of blueberries straight off the bush and eating them right there. My grandpa had an orchard, and I loved to go through his apple trees and get an apple just straight off the tree and eat that apple. Man, it was so good. We look at the rolling mountains and how beautiful they are. We look at the Some people see the beauty in the ocean. I see sand all in the black interior of my truck. The rolling sea. And we look at that and we admire its beauty. But that would have never been if God had not created it. And you know what God wants to do with you? And you know what God wants to do with me? God wants to make something beautiful out of us. So people can look back and say, I remember a time, boy, when there was pretty much nothing. But boy, God done something unusual in their life. And look at them today. And you know what others will do? Others will eat the fruit that we produce out of our life. And their life will be changed. He said, create in me. God, I need you to do this. But Josh, I can't fix me. And you can't fix me. And you can't fix me. And Brother Jim's one of the smartest men I've ever met. He can't fix me. Brother Joe back there can't fix me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I give you this and I'm done. Renew is restoration. It's restoration. It's to bring something back to its former state. Man was created to have fellowship with God, but because of sin, that was broken. Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. Why? So our fellowship could be renewed or restored. We could be brought back in fellowship with Him. I remember I was this little tow-headed boy. My daddy went to the Mitsubishi dealership in Winston. And Brother Charles, he bought a brand new Mitsubishi truck. It's red. It's a 5-speed. I'll never forget it. I was probably, I don't know, 12, 13 years old. And we brought that thing home. Boy, I thought it was really something. I wish I had it today. I thought it was something. And Daddy said, we got that truck home, and he said, we're going to go over here to Gary Smith's. He's got an old Ferguson 30 we're going to go look at. Well, I knew exactly what that was because Daddy had had several of them. We went over there. But Mark, we got over there and the weeds was growed up around that thing. Daddy said, well, what do you take for it? Well, they went to bartering back and forth there. He said, I don't even know if it'll run. Daddy said, well, I got a chain in the truck. Daddy throwed a chain around the front of that old tractor and around the bumper of that brand new truck. Jerked it out of that brush pile. That old, it's just old weeds and briars. Pulled it out of it. And Gary got in the truck. Daddy got on that tractor. Brother Jerry, they went up the road just to fly. Daddy'd pop a clutch on that tractor trying to get that old tractor to run. It hit and miss and it sounded like an old Pop and John Deere, but it wasn't supposed to sound that way. Daddy said, I think we'll take it. And I thought, have you lost your mind? You're crazy. What's that thing worth? We took that thing home, and Daddy said this, we're going to restore it or renew it. And I said, all right. And he started a process that didn't happen overnight. Matter of fact, it took about a year. Daddy worked on that thing. We sandblasted the wheels on it. We sandblasted it. We ended up painting it back that Ferguson gray color. You that knows old tractors knows what I'm saying. Painted back that Ferguson gray color. Painted the wheels on it. Put new tires on it. Converted it over to 12 volts instead of 6 volts. Boy, you could walk out there when he got done with it and look in the shed, and it looked like a completely different tractor. It was the same tractor, but it looked completely different. You could throw it over there in neutral, start it. Boy, it'd fire right up. Sing like a Singer sewing machine. Man, that thing was smooth. Let me tell you what happened. Daddy saw something in that nobody else did. A few others did, but the majority of people didn't see nothing in it. But when he got done and posted it for sale in the yard with a for sale sign, we didn't even have bag phones and pagers then. There wasn't no posting it on the marketplace or on Craigslist. Are you with me? And if you did have the internet, if anybody picked up the phone, somebody give me a witness, the internet dropped out. Daddy pulled it out there in the yard. Man, there was people stopping like crazy wanting to buy that old tractor. Why? Because somebody had renewed it. David said, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. You see, to a lot of people today, when they look at us, they don't see nothing but something thrown over in an old briar patch. But God, when He looks at us, He says, you know what I want to do? I want to sandblast you. Boy, that'd be rough right there, wouldn't it? I want to sandblast you. I want to put some new tires on it. I want to convert you from 6 volts to 12 volts. And when the world sees us, then they see us as He is. Renew a right spirit. You're not going to do this yourself. You're not going to change yourself. Quit trying to do it yourself. You're going to have to let God do it. David let God do that in his life. There's a man that is named Solomon. Y'all ever heard of him? According to the Bible, he's the smartest man that ever lived. I know that's hard for some of y'all to swallow. You thought it was you, Zeb, but it wasn't. It was Solomon. You know who Solomon's mom and daddy is? David and Bathsheba. After the mess up, David got fixed up by God, and God blessed the rest of his life. And Solomon was born the smartest man that ever lived, come out of a messed up situation. Say, I messed up. We all are. But sure am glad there's a God that loves us and a God that will create something new out of us and make us liken unto His image.